Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everybody. After a fact-filled weather forecast from Adam Carter, we are here. Hartman Carter Cook, News Talk 830 W. CCO. You're suggesting a small amount of snow day after day after day. Is that what you're saying, Adam Robert Carter?
Three clippers. We got first of three clippers tonight. We got the Alberta, the Calcutta, and the Yankee all coming.
the Denny Green Arizona Cardinals heading to Buffalo, Calcutta Clipper soundbite is still one of my all-time favorites.
That was when he was with the Cardinals?
Yes.
I thought he said that when he was with the Vikes.
No. Oh. No, he references his time here.
Okay.
Knowing the weather. Now, I'm going with that as 98% confident. But I'll be honest, the last 6 months or so, there might be a name or two that I'm thinking of and I don't get right away. So it might be over. I mean, whether it's 56, not sleeping, it might be, you know, a year or two when the two of you are just putting me in the chair and pointing me to the corner.
How about mispronunciations of names that you should know? Because the reason I bring that up is when you had Guardy on yesterday, I was reminded of a very, very funny interaction that your father had with Guardy when Guardy was the Twins manager on the Sports Huddle, when they'd have Guardy on. And Billy Koch, I believe was the name, was the closer for the White Sox. And the Twins had gotten to him. So your father was talking about how the Twins had gotten after Koch, but he mispronounced it. And then Guardy, in a very funny way, said, "Yeah, we whacked Coke around pretty good."
You are afraid of saying the word right now on WCC Radio?
In that context, I mean, I think I like to leave it to the listener to use their imagination.
Okay. What a sampler you are, just laying out the crumbs. Come here.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Come get it. Dan, you think he made the right choice?
I think he absolutely made the right choice. And you should take a breath and feel okay, because you are correct. It was Dennis Green as head coach of the Arizona Cardinals speaking to the Arizona media when he described the Calcutta Clippers. So.
Yes. These are minor Clippers coming our way.
Right.
And it's almost tolerable outside right now. If it's 8,
it wasn't tolerable when I was walking in.
Still cold.
And it's windy too. I mean, that's what got me.
Yes, that it definitely plays a factor. I have had so much creaking at the house lately because of the cold weather. I'm looking around left and right and seeing who's breaking into the house. Have you, with your new mansion? You're now 15,000 square foot mansion in Rose. What do we determine as the proper way of saying it? Rosemont?
I say Rosemont, but people tell me it's Rosemount, but I think both are acceptable.
I thought you had the mayor on and tried to resolve it with Rosemont. It seems like it should be Rosemount. I mean, you got the U in there. Maybe we need to get rid of these superfluous letters, Carter. I mean, maybe that can be your campaign in 2022.
Q.
If we don't letter, get out of there, you.
X. Come on. X.
So, news breaking today. Two very recognizable entertainers have left us. Mr. Loaf and Mr. Anderson. Meat Loaf and Louie Anderson, and we're going to talk about both of them a couple times because our guy John Hines, Twin Cities radio legend himself, as Dan Cook reminded me, longtime good friends with Louie Anderson. So Hinesy is with us at about 2:05. So I want to talk about both of them, but I want to ask this. Because it does seem like, and maybe it's COVID related, maybe it's nothing to do with COVID, where we see recognizable figures, entertainment, politics, sports, pop culture somehow, and we give off the impression, no more. You know, it's just not slowing down. And we certainly have watched it with COVID. Are we at 850,000? I'm trying to remember where the number is in the country right now. And millions across the globe. And sometimes folks die from COVID. Sometimes it has nothing to do with COVID when we're talking about these recognizable names. Do we have official confirmation yet on Meat Loaf and COVID? Because there are reports suggesting it was from COVID, but I didn't see enough where there was confirmation myself. So what do we think? I mean we got 56, 46, 47, but I don't think it's our age where we're looking at these names and even right away with Betty White this year and other names. Is it any different? Is it that we have so many social media platforms where it stands out more? What do you guys think on this one?
That there are more. I guess I missed the premise of the question.
It seems like we're reacting and saying another person has died.
Oh,
another person has died. Another person.
Yeah.
And yes. I'm pointing out. Well, because of COVID, we've had a lot more people die because this insidious, awful virus. But on the recognizable names like Meat Loaf and Louie Anderson, I don't know if it's directly different because of COVID or we're just reacting to it.
I think that's all it is. I mean, I would venture to, with the amount of celebrities we have, I'd say it's fairly average probably in a given year how many pass away. But it's generational too, right? I mean, and the ability we have to express sadness or shock that someone has died, right? And I've noticed that. I mean, there's now we have the ability to say, boy, you know, that we heap praise on someone, and we have the ability to share video clips, things like that. I think it gives the appearance that, you know, these deaths have affected us more than previous deaths, where we just haven't had the ability to express that. In the past. But no, I think, you know, yeah, because I've seen that, like, you know, go to hell 2022. I can't believe. Well, you know, I think the same amount of celebrities probably die in a given year anyway.
Well, and I'm not just saying just celebrities. I'm saying recognizable figures, right? People, it could be sports, it could be politics. It could be for some reason we know who they are, Dan. And listen, more people because of COVID, that was something new. It's something that has become politically divisive, which is embarrassing. It's shameful, but it has become that. But yeah, I mean, I lost my father, a year and a half ago. And that has stood out to me. And there are, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people across the country who lost someone over the last period of time. My father never had COVID, but as much as I can believe this in my heart. I believe my father would still be here today without COVID because he would have still been out and about. So what do you think? Because I mentioned social media. Adam was alluding to there. Is that some of the impression that maybe a few of us might have or a lot of us might have where it just seems like, here we go again. It's just another recognizable person. And why are we seeing so many recognizable people die when the facts might not match up with it?
I think social media is part of it, no doubt. But I think death has been so front and center in all of our lives for the last 2 years now, whether it be from COVID or whether it be somebody that has passed away that we're not allowed to grieve in the way that we've been able to grieve in past times because of COVID, because of the pandemic. I think death has been so much in our face that every time somebody we recognize passes away, whether it's at a greater frequency or not, I think it hits us differently than it used to. And it will for at least a good period of time. Maybe there, at some point it settles back to a state of what we used to call normalcy. But I think death is very, very much front and center in our lives lately. And that's a strain on everybody. And so I think when we see somebody recognizable, it just hits us different. It hits us a little harder than it did in the past.
Let's pause here. You want to chime in? You can, as always, 651-461-9226. Let's talk more specifically about Louis Anderson and Meatloaf when we come back. Since we're playing Bumper all day from Meatloaf, Carter, should we start with Meatloaf and then get to
sure,
Louis?
Sure.
I heard it. I read it. I think it works. Operatic. You think that works for Meatloaf?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like rock operatic, you know?
For sure. I mean, there is an
big,
opera
boisterous
feel.
Yes.
Yes. He is over the top.
100%.
He is larger than life. He is during his songs. He is during his concerts. He is during interviews. He was on The Apprentice. There just wasn't a lot of, I'm sure there was subtlety and nuance to Meatloaf. That's not the persona. That's not the music he was selling. I mean, there are other, I mean, these are ballads. And his partnership with Jim Steinem has played a huge part in this. But this was not exactly a shrinking violet on the power, the presence, his opinion, and his way of life.
No, I push back a little bit. Like when he was on Celebrity Apprentice, which again, for some reason, in the pantheon of quote-unquote reality shows, was probably my favorite show. I looked
big
different.
Trump guy.
Big Trumper, you know me.
It was tremendous.
But I was surprised, I guess, just because that is your, you know, your only exposure to Meatloaf is the big boisterous singer, that he was seemed like a relatively normal guy on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, I'm not talking about how he is in real life. I'm just talking about the presentation he would give you. Because there are so many people who, I don't know, they got a radio show or they're an actor or they're a singer and they are that over-the-top person, but a lot of times they're very quiet and reserved. And he did show that. You're 100% right. I mean, Bad Out of Hell, just as a name of an album. How good is that?
Pretty good.
Especially when you follow it up with Bad Out of Hell 2 back into hell.
Yes.
You know? It was, but the presentation was the thing. I mean, that's what made him iconic, right? Because,
yes.
You know, if you technically try to break it down and say, how good of a singer was he? Eh. And when you look at the songs in isolation, how good were the songs? Eh. But it was his passion and authenticity.
I think they're pretty good, actually.
I mean, but there's a kitschiness. I mean, I don't know. I think you had to do them the way that he did them with the presentation and the authenticity and the commitment to them in the way that he did them for them to become the iconic hits that they were. I think anybody else doing those exact songs in a different manner, I don't think they ever become hits at all.
It would have been funny to have, like, I mean, we could make this point with all sorts of singers and bands, Carter, just switching up. Like, who would you want to hear sing Meatloaf?
I would,
you know,
do anything for love,
but I won't do that.
But I won't.
You know, Todd Rundgren helped produce Bat Out of Hell. Stevie Van Zandt played a point. Max Weinberg played a point, you know. Obviously, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
Fight Club.
I just saw him on a clip of him on TV. We've got to bring the ruffled tuxedo shirt back into prominence.
Yes, for sure. You know, just okay. Do we have? And we do, right? Just the over the top entertainers like Meatloaf. We just say music.
Who's the modern day Meatloaf?
Yeah, who is the closest thing to Meatloaf right now? Where I'll use Dan Sermon. Kitschy. There is a hook to it, and I mean, Bat Out of Hell. I'll do anything for love. Not that though. Okay, not, you know. I don't know if we have that person, but you nailed it for sure. On the ruffled shirt. I want to get to Louie here, too, because Major's with us in about 7-8 minutes. I was looking forward at the same time that you posted it, so we're thinking along the same lines. No shock. Louie's first appearance on Carson. He was brilliant.
Yes.
He got everything that every single comedian wanted, which was what? Johnny's approval.
Johnny's approval. Come back out, young son. And just listen to the laughter.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Johnny included.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, almost all self-deprecating humor about his weight.
Yep.
And, I mean, the delivery is flawless. To be that young. 1984, when Carson is still Carson. I mean, Johnny was big for a long time, right? I don't know, would some say maybe the 70s, he was even bigger than the 80s, but he was still a force. And for a comedian to get that opportunity in 1984, where he finishes and he's now behind the curtain already, where Johnny brings him back out, and then comes over and gives him the handshake. That didn't happen that often. His connection to Minnesota stayed strong. I mean, as someone who lived here and then moved away for about 6-7 years and came back in 90, even when he was having his, I mean, coming to America. Great story about coming to America where he's in Beverly Hills. He buys the meal for Eddie and whoever Eddie was with, says, don't tell. They do tell. Eddie reaches out to him, and the next day, guess what he offers him? Coming to America. We're coming to America, to Baskets. How many times would you hear him? With Heinze, okay? Heinze's going to join. I would hear him all the time with Bernard.
Yep.
On this station, not pre-John. Appearing, how many times was it? New Year's Eve or so, the last 20 years. Pick the casino. Louie Anderson is going to be there. Go ahead.
Oh, I just, what it gets me to, I think my first, I was trying to reach out to my friend Pete Terinskis this morning because I think we met Louie back during the Winter Carnival days when our parents were involved in Winter Carnival heavily. He might have been doing some event. And I think we met Louis. But when I think of Louis Anderson, it's when he does his parents and how many people in the Midwest can relate to that, like my dad or mom, especially when he does mom, that Midwestern mom. It's just so perfect. And that's, you know, that's why I tweeted that video saying, you know, there's so many people in this part of the country. Yes, he was successful everywhere, but that, you know, he just had it down, the whole upper Midwestern lifestyle and mannerisms. And
well, he even said, you know, for his Emmy Award-winning show, Baskets, she was a strong part of the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that enough. Did you?
I haven't seen it at all.
I liked it.
So I remember the great praise, and I like Zach Galifianakis too. And I just, I don't know. I should watch it.
Yeah, I think this will inspire a lot of people to go down those rabbit holes for either Meatloaf or Louie. I remember I watched, I think, an episode and a half, and I thought, this is good. Not, you know, we all do it. We're all saying, you just, you don't go back to a show, but this will be an inspiration to do it. Our guy Major Garrett is coming up next here on Newstalk A30 WCCO.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He is with us, and I want to remind everybody, including Major, we talk a lot about his podcast, The Takeout. I'm driving around last Sunday in the Twin Cities area, about 5:15, I'm reminded again, The Takeout, right here on WCCO, every Sunday at 5 o'clock. I think previously, Major, the show was on Monday morning at 3 a.m., you know, like a really a prime time slot for you.
Yep.
Sunday, 5 p.m., leading in to 60 Minutes. That's pretty good right there now.
Oh, yes. It's prime real estate, and I'm deeply grateful to WCCO.
Let's start with the president, Joe Biden, gives a press conference the day before 1 year as his presidency. We know by now there has been some cleanup on his comments on voting in the upcoming election, his comments on Ukraine. We know, we've talked about it many times, the struggles this administration has had the last 6-7 months. You know this much better than I. Many times when you're a year or so into an administration and things are not going well, people are fired. People are dismissed. It's a fresh look. It's new face, a new direction. That hasn't happened so far with this administration. Do you think it's going to happen soon?
I don't. I think some people will leave. Jen Psaki, the press secretary, said she would do this job for a year. There is an expectation that she will step down, not because she's being dismissed, but because she only committed to a year. How much longer into this second year she stays will entirely be up to her. But I don't see the president saying, I'm dissatisfied and I'm firing you because I'm dissatisfied or I need to shake things up, for a couple of reasons. A, that's not his style. B, I think he fundamentally believes, and I believe those around him fundamentally believe, it can't get any worse and it's only going to get better, so why fire people if you think you're going to turn a corner? I'm not sure that's the proper calculus. I do think our population writ large, as it consumes politics, doesn't absorb firings the way it used to. Partisans won't give him any credit. I mean, those who are against the administration will not give him any credit. They say, oh, we should have done a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And those who are supportive of the administration will not take necessarily any positive cues from it. And I just think temperamentally it goes against who Joe Biden is. And I really do believe, whether this is true or not, they believe they are turning a corner, that they have a better story to tell, that once Omicron is in a better position, they think it will be in mid-February, and tests have been sent out, and people have got them through the website, and the website didn't crash, and all those things are sort of in a better place. They believe the economy will be better. Inflation will be not as high, meaning it will start to come down. It may not be low, but it won't be as high. They believe all those things are going to look better come springtime. Whether, again, that's true or not, what's important is that they believe it to be true and they're going to act accordingly.
Well, as we speak, we have another blow to the Biden White House because a federal judge in Texas has blocked the administration's pursuit for enforcing its vaccine mandate for federal workers, citing the outcome of last week's Supreme Court ruling, which nullified the administration's vaccine or test requirement for large employers. It is, again, that COVID dilemma for the president. You think about it was a borderline morning in America, mission accomplished, July 4th last year, when the vaccines were working, people were coming back, it was summer. And then this administration seemingly has been behind the curve on COVID with masks, with testing, and then with mandates that the only one now really that is in play at a federal level, Major, is for hospitals and hospital workers. But this, again, for federal workers, this is another significant blow against the path that the president has selected to try to slow down COVID.
Right. And I'm not a lawyer and I don't pretend to be one, but I do think the administration, in terms of a mandate for federal employees, is on better legal ground than it was for businesses with more than 100 employees. The main problem there was, what's magic about 100? And if it's a grave health risk, it's not grave to 99 employees. It's only grave to 100. What's magical about that? That was always the weakest part of the private sector mandate. But federal employees are answerable to the executive branch, at least legally speaking. So there might be better grounds there, but this judge's decision does put that on hold. And for the administration, it creates this long-standing tension. Do you use mandates to change behavior, or do you just use them as a way to, you hope, persuade people to change their behavior? Mandates have a compulsive component to them. And several governors who are supportive of people getting vaccinated have said, I'm not going down that road. Legally, it's a hassle. Politically, it doesn't work. And I'm going to try much more on the persuasion side, keeping away from the mandates in order to have a broader and, they hope, more beneficial conversation with their constituents. The administration didn't do that. I think they read into, honestly, the politics of Gavin Newsom in California on the recall and said, you know, this is a winner for us. Let's go full bore on this. And it's had mixed results, to be sure. And I do think the administration was incautious, and we've talked about this before, declaring our independence from it in July. Anyone familiar with the Spanish flu pandemic would say it's a 2.5-year cycle, and you better be careful in year two, as careful as you were in year one, because things are going to come at you differently. This administration was not. And one thing I would say just on the overall atmospherics that I think this administration – I know doesn't want to do, but I think it should do. You remember, Chad, the whole country remembers, I think, the president, as president-elect, had two very solemn ceremonies to recognize 400,000 and 500,000 COVID deaths in America. One as president-elect, one as president. Have there been any since then?
Nope.
Are those deaths any less sorrowful?
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah.
Are they any less tragic? No. Are they any less a moment for our country to reflect and take a moment and say on behalf of those families and friends and everyone affected, we should pause? No. But what's the sensitivity? Oh, well, they're on our watch.
Yes.
Ought that not to matter? That's my perspective.
No. Yep. No, I think that is a very good point. Let's pause here. I want to talk about the former president and say this for anybody saying, well, he's not president anymore. Why are you still talking about him? All of these items I will discuss with Major involving former President Trump have taken place this week. And also, I want to have a little football conversation with Mr. Garrett. Man who still loves his hometown, San Diego, but the Spanos family turned their back on San Diego and Major turned his back on the Chargers. So a sports fan like him who loves sports, when he doesn't have a team to watch in the playoffs, how does that affect he's viewing when the numbers are just astronomical, dramatic increases. Even with the blowouts last week, the numbers were up 20 to 25% for wild card weekend. Major is back with us in moments on CCO. In honor of the passing of Meatloaf, Major Garrett, we are playing the stylings of Meatloaf today. Where do you stand? I know you're saddened to hear the news. You're a man who loves music. Where do you stand on Meatloaf?
So, you know, I believe all of the best and loudest rock and roll artists, and Meatloaf certainly is in that category of hard-driving rock and roll, owe at least part of their success and lineage to Led Zeppelin. I believe everything flows through Led Zeppelin. And I think more and more rock critics agree with me on that. Not entirely, but there's a lot of influences that you find in it. And if you want to know my favorite Meatloaf song, it's one that has the baseball announcer Phil Rizzuto in it, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, 1978. Let's just say, as someone born in 1962, that was a very relevant song to me at age 16.
The Scooter claims that he had no idea the actual references. I'm saying, yes, you did, Phil. Yes, yes, you did. No doubt about it. It's a great, great tune. Okay, let's just talk about news involving the former president this week. Mm-hmm. Not going back this week, but the January 6th investigative commission is asking for the daughter, Ivanka Trump, extraordinarily close to the president, part of the administration, for her to come up wanting information about their conversations on January 6th itself. The Supreme Court says, no, Mr. President, you cannot have these documents kept away from the January 6th commission. Those documents will be turned over. We have New York, the New York Attorney General, pursuing claims of fraudulence and lies about valuations, how at one time, for certain purposes, an apartment at Trump Tower is 11,000 square feet for maybe tax purposes, and then to build it up, it's 30,000 square feet. And now we have the Georgia District Attorney who is asking for a special grand jury to aid in the investigation on the infamous phone call when the president was looking for more votes. That's a long list for 4 or 5 days. Give me your overall, and which one should concern the former president the most?
Well, I think by far the most important event regarding the president and the investigation into the riot and storming of the Capitol on January 6, 2021 was the Supreme Court decision. Because the Supreme Court decision essentially said two things, not just to the former president, those who worked with him and around him on that fateful day, and the country at large, which is this. The investigation of the House Select Committee is legitimate. It has legitimate purposes, legislative and otherwise, and there is no discernible, legally justifiable way that you can prevent that committee from obtaining documents about what you did or importantly did not do on that day. That is going to create all sorts of tension for people who have either come before the committee or who were being asked to come before the committee, because now there will be documentary evidence that will either buttress what they say in their own testimony or conflict with that. And this brings us to Ivanka. And we should remember, not only was Ivanka working for the White House and her father, she swore an oath to the country as a senior administration official. Everyone who is sworn in at the White House swears an oath. She had an obligation not only to her father, not to the White House as a political entity, but to the country writ large. And it's quite clear in the letter that this January 6th committee released yesterday that they already know a good deal about what Ivanka said, when she said it, and what import it had persuading her father to do more than he was doing at critical hours of that day, all of which the country needs to hear. The country needs to hear and understand what was the president's attitude, what was his pre-knowledge, what was his disposition as that day progressed. and devolved and turned into this riotous, horrible spectacle. The country needs to hear that. And this committee now, as ruled by the Supreme Court, has every legitimate opportunity and right to ask those probing questions. What happens in New York and what happens with Trump Business and the Trump Organization, that's always been out there as a potential legal stumbling block for the former president, but it's getting real, real now. So I think the larger import is, on a political level, he lost with the Supreme Court. That's going to have tremors for everyone who's called before the committee. And the fact pattern and the record is going to be unhelpful. As I told you from the very beginning, Chad, this story never gets better in the retelling. It only gets worse. It will never, ever get better. And in New York, it's like, ah, that thing that's always been hanging out there, it's gotten real, real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it
definitely
it's
has.
Two fronts. It's a vice.
In the 1970s, your love of the San Diego Chargers was formed. It stayed with you throughout your life until the Spanos family said, we are leaving San Diego to become the 47th most prominent team in Los Angeles. The Chargers, honestly.
Correct.
If there is a roller derby team in L.A., yep. they are more relevant
yeah,
to the
L.A.
Chargers.
Firebirds, yeah.
Yes, I love the Firebirds. I love them. I think Raquel Welch once played on their team. So you cut the cord then. You said you left us the way you left us.
Yep.
I am done with you. But you are a sports fan. You
sure.
will spend time in your 34,000 square foot mansion this weekend at times, in your giant man cave with 17 TVs watching the NFL. Do you miss not having a rooting interest? Are you okay just appreciating the greatness of the NFL?
Sure, I miss having a rooting interest, and I miss my beloved hometown having another major sports franchise. I miss that a great deal. I really do, and I'll never forgive Dean Spanos for taking it away from us because he didn't have to. There were plenty of opportunities for him to stay. His lack of creativity, his lack of belief in the city will never escape my notice. I will be very busy this weekend. I'll be writing my book. I will occasionally look up. The only rooting interest I preserve when it comes to the NFL now is for AFL teams. So, unhappily for me, two of them are playing each other, the Bills and the Chiefs. But what I basically said to you is that if there's an original AFL team, I'm going to root for them. Other than that, I really don't have a strong interest one way or the other. And I don't count the Tennessee Titans. You have to be the Houston Oilers. Okay,
yeah.
They're not.
I was gonna ask
I don't
you.
Count the Tennessee Titans.
Thank you, sir, as always. Best of luck in the book crafting, and we'll
Thank
look
you.
Forward to our conversation next week.
I always do. Thanks, Chad.
Major Garrett, phenomenal for CBS, and again, the takeout. I get it in podcast form, so I end up listening to it either Friday or Saturday. If you want to listen to it right here on WCCO Radio, it is on Sundays at 5 o'clock. Now grab a seatbelt, get locked in, because when we come back, it is Feisty Fridays with Shaletta Brundage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.